If there is an overarching theme from these past few episodes, it's everybody needs a black friend. Someone to keep it 100 with you. Tori has one. Devin has one. Who next?
They all got some, sure. Sean, Becca, they have some.
You sure?
Looking at you, Marissa. Melissa and Cameron, sorry.
Courtney has none. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yachty Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Married at First Sight, Season 20, Seattle. Recap of Episode 11. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
A Sum to Be says, OMG, I actually made it on a Saturday. Don't you guys have lives? Well, you know what happened was, we tried to do this for you.
Yeah.
And Terrell is sacrificing.
Yeah, my girl's coming over and we get done.
He's like, so let's wrap this up.
Yeah. So like, yeah, I have a life. I'm just going to knock this out and then enjoy a great evening.
And then, okay, no, okay. I'm not going to say that. See, there was a joke there. I'm going to leave it alone. Dee Dee and Buddy says, frankly, I'm not sure Courtney has any white friends either. Y'all are wild. I can see people just do not like her at all. Let's kick it off where we left off the last time with the wonderful, loving couple of Nikki and Sean and this loving conversation of releases and fasting.
I mean, kind of like Shaft. It is her duty to pleasure that booty. This conversation, it's crazy. And Sean says that he doesn't think it's her duty to please him. Mm. But he did tell her that he has been in a fast for a season. Why do you talk like that? That just makes it annoying. I've been in a fast.
You know, fasts are usually intentional. And people don't cry to get out of a fast. Like he's doing right now. They don't go begging to get out of a fast, right?
Please, please, please.
And exactly, Slay. Sean must suffer from amnesia because he said that ish. Because he definitely reworded his entire... Well, what I said was... And then when she's like, well, I must have heard different. And he's like, yeah. Oh. And he... The gaslighting that he did in this conversation was top notch.
Yeah.
Okay? This was expert level. This was, if you're playing Madden, this was Heisman level. I mean, not that's college football. It was Madden level. It was the experts.
Sean's diabolical because he's been doing this where he tries to make himself seem like he's the on the up and up and Nikki was the problem. Mm-hmm. So he's been doing that. And then to try to bring up this, you know, mutual masturbation conversation, mm-hmm. knowing that she's not feeling you like that. And maybe there's some like little mini makeout sessions that's happening that we haven't seen, but it just doesn't seem like there's anything there. And I like how Nikki asked him, are you expecting that we're going to have sex before decision day? Because she's like, I thought I already told you. No.
The way she kind of said that, and she handled that very well, politically correct.
Yeah, she did.
That was absolutely... again, masterful on her part, too.
Yes.
Or like Coach Run says, the theme song for Nikki and Sean should be, never gonna get it, never gonna get it. Absolutely right, because they should. It's not going to happen. Toya says, she gave him an inch and he took a mile. I don't think there are these makeout sessions that you will say, okay, maybe it is. And I know why we said it, because Age of Attraction, we found out that's what was really happening behind the scenes, right? With Jorge. And the difference is, I think here, they did the little performance for the camera because they knew the camera was there.
Yeah.
If they had been making out at any other point, I believe the producers would show us because they're like, holy crap, this actually, they wouldn't have shown us that bullshit one.
Yeah, that one that they did show was whack, but I'm just not believing it. But Sean is pretty much trying to tell her, look, if you want to do something, I'm ready. But she doesn't want to do something. But I truly think Sean is pushing this envelope as a way to try to get her to quit.
Yeah. Kevin says, Sean, she ain't into you. Do what you usually do, hit a bathhouse. And Living to Do.
Wow. Wow.
Right? Says, are you guys going to ask Sean for an interview after the season ends? We can ask. Now, the question is, if he watches the recaps, he may be like some people and decide not to.
Yeah. That's why Pastor Cal wouldn't interview us.
So he might follow his brother and not do it.
Yeah. My brother told me, nah.
Some to be says, I hope not. I already spent enough tuition on college and graduate school. Tea Time asked a really good question. And yes, we did. Didn't we see Nikki's backside? Not as much as we will see later from somebody else. There's other chocolate that was there, or caramel. Mm-hmm. So, but we'll talk about that when we get there. Sean's saying that he doesn't want to have a platonic relationship and then say he wants to continue the marriage. You're going to have a platonic relationship, plain and simple. Even though Nikki's trying to say it's not, this is what it is. There is no after decision day, plain and simple.
Yeah, after decision day, we're getting divorced.
By the way, before we get off of these two, Nikki B is saying that our recaps are kind to Sean.
What did we not say just now about Sean?
Is it because we won't call out what everybody else says?
That could be it. Yeah, there's certain things we're not going to say. You don't want to say that?
I'm not going to jump to the conclusion of that.
Yeah.
But I got eyes like you do, okay? That's all I'm going to say on that. But yeah, we have, and to be fair, we have not just given him a pass at all.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Michelle and Cameron, meeting with Dr., I'll go with your way, Lisa, even though I have written down Dr. Paz.
Dr. Lisa.
Since you and the live crew have decided this is Dr. Lisa, okay. Cameron getting a little emotional here, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's just talking about how happy he is. You know, he hasn't really had many relationships. He's had, so this relationship is shorter than any relationship he's had so far, but he's not felt this close to somebody. And I think that's nice. I mean, I think these two, because if you really think about it, when they got married, mm-hmm. we were skeptical.
Yeah.
That limo ride mm-hmm. back to the, you know, to the hotel. Mm-hmm. I was skeptical on these two, and now to see how well they're doing. And I think Cam is just blown away by it. And the fact that Michelle complimented him so well.
Yeah.
It touched him.
It did.
So no woman's ever said all those nice things about
apparently me. So did she. Tita says, Cameron is growing on me. I like him. Deja says, I'm rooting for them. And Kevin calls them Chris Rock's boring couple. Yes, because they have a good relationship.
Yeah.
That's why we can do shows on Saturday nights. Boring couples. You see how I brought that back?
I did.
Dee Dee and Buddy too says it was nice to see a little emotion from them. These two are like watching paint dry. Yes, which is why they're going to work. This is why they're going to work. Exactly. Even Monica saying they're my favorite couple. How about this? Assumption to be. I skipped through them, but Cameron has surprised me. He's truly embracing her and himself, but I fast forwarded through all of their stuff. Damn.
Yeah, I mean, it's not eventful.
Yeah.
And, you know, Michelle's not crying as much as I thought she was going to be. I thought she was going to be a big, heavy crier every episode. So, no. But,
you know what it is, though? Her crying would have been bad, but not as annoying as her vocal fry, which is still going strong. Like Kevin, who said, married 27 years, Yanni, you are correct. Boring couples, they last. They haven't said I love you yet.
Yeah.
Are you surprised by that, considering how deep they've seemed to have gotten?
I mean, I can't say I'm surprised. I mean, I guess you say it when you're ready and when you feel it's right for you to say it. Mm-hmm. But Cameron has never said that to anybody before. Mm-hmm. Outside of family, he's not gave the I love yous to anybody. So I don't know. Red flag on his part?
No.
You think it's someone 37 years old, hasn't been in love at all?
He hasn't had a girlfriend. That's more of a red flag than him not saying I love you. You don't say I love you just because it's good. You say I love you because you mean it. See, this is what got, this is why guys get their windows busted out, their tires slashed, and all this other bullshit. Because you've done the dumb thing and said the thing you're not supposed to say unless you mean it. I'm just saying. But you know what I've never had?
It just felt right.
I don't care how it felt. You. Like Marie James says, car keyed playing with emotions. Exactly. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki B says, love this soon is an illusion. The cameras are still rolling. You still don't know this person yet. Yeah, that is
true. Yes and no, because they've been together 24/7 for roughly 3 weeks.
So that 3 weeks is almost like 3 months.
Exactly. Exactly.
By the way, J-Ro says you just don't throw the L word out there. And Jolie says, well, depends on how good it is. Which is what you were trying to say.
Just saying it happens. Sometimes it just feels right.
I'm going to tell you something. I saw the effects of somebody saying that and even getting into a relationship because it was good.
Mm.
You know, because how did y'all get together? Y'all are toxic. And he's like, well, I didn't want her to stop. And she said she wasn't going to do it anymore if she wasn't my girlfriend. And you're an idiot.
I mean, that's his thing. that's his thing, I guess. But, you know, you never knew.
We do get to see them again, though, at Michelle's favorite spot.
Yeah.
Taste test for Cameron, which is pretty much the same thing we saw with the red velvet robes that Sean tried to do for Nikki. But yeah, the views of this were, hey, those water views were amazing.
It was a beautiful view. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really nice. I like how she did it compared to how Sean did it. And I think, if Sean and Nikki were in that better place, I think Sean probably would have done the whole whipped cream and go kiss her. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was really nice. I was like,
he might have got slapped just now. Pow!
Exactly. Yeah, she's the elbow.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Well, true. I mean, this was, we get to see them be a little, here's the thing I think that was kind of, I thought was, I don't know how to describe it, but when he goes, ooh, you're different when I'm blindfolded. And it's like Marie says, a nice romantic scene. And Sly wants to remind you that Sean did tie Nikki up.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. He did.
Michelle thinks that she and Cam are the strongest couple. Do you agree with her?
So far.
Okay.
I would say. I mean, so far, I would say I thought, you know, I would have thought that Marissa and Adam were the strongest ones. But Michelle and Cameron have come a long way.
Taylor says, Seattle looks so beautiful. You've been there, is it?
It is. Yeah, I used to travel back and forth to Seattle and Portland, so I've been in both. But Seattle is beautiful. Pike's Market is awesome. Just be able to go see the water. It's a gorgeous place.
Yeah. Okay. So absolutely a place to visit, you'd say? Except the Seahawks are there, so no.
Yeah, great place to visit. Good food.
Okay. Hey, appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Please do us a favor if you haven't done so already. Hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications.
Shout.
On to Courtney and Nick. This would look like a little romantic setting. Are they trying to one-up Michelle and Cameron here? What was this?
Okay. That's what I thought when the scene started. And then once Nick gets there, he's surprised and Courtney, you know, sets up all the candles and all that stuff and says, like, do you like stuff like this? He's like, yeah. She goes, oh, I hate doing this. I don't like it. Then why'd you do it?
Because they
did you do any of that if you don't like doing it? It just makes no sense. Because Nick is like touched. Like, oh, wow, you put this effort in. You really like me. No. That's what Nick is thinking.
But it was she's like, no, I'll follow the instructions. Or like Sly says, Courtney explained the intimacy exercise like a crackhead trying to sell you a flat screen TV they found around the corner.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's where I do agree with her, though, right? And it's the one time I find myself agreeing with her. It's when it comes to the lingerie, right? She's like, it's just going to come off anyway, right? I've never been that, oh, please go put on this lingerie type of guy. Never. I like, never been.
I like the lingerie. I mean, I'm good either way, but I think the lingerie is nice when someone puts in that extra something for you. Now, this is something she wears every Thursday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. It's not as special. But if she went and bought this for you, Terrell, that's different, right? I can enjoy that.
Now, don't
and it's kind of like taking a gift, open up a gift on Christmas. Okay. The ones that are wrapped, it's kind of fun to open that gift, take the ribbon off slowly. Same thing with lingerie. It's a gift.
Okay, I'm not saying that if my wife walked in the lingerie, I'm like, why the hell are you wearing that shit? I'm not going to say that.
Where are you going?
I'm just saying it's not necessary. Oh, like Sly says, butt naked, let's go. Even t-shirt. Hey, let's go Adina Howard on this. You know, we ain't got to spend the money on that expensive lingerie for what?
Teeth thorough.
Even though Kevin's gone, men have told Courtney they don't want to see her in lingerie.
No.
That's wild.
It's just a sports bra and some biker shorts. That's her lingerie.
See, look, Nikki B says, baby oil and lip gloss, let's go.
Of course, Nikki B. Of course.
That sounds like a ditty pack to me, but.
I'm curious what Nikki's little toy box entails. Like, what all the inventory in her little toy box? Because I bet she has some things. We should do a story time with Nikki.
It'll be story time called Nightgowning 101. Yeah. They had questions that they had to, even just the explanation of, so how do we do this? Read a question, answer it. I'm like, Jesus, I feel like I'm in class.
Yeah, because she's forced to do this.
Anything stood out to you from this, especially Nick's answer on weirdest place he had sex?
Yeah, the weirdest place he had sex was in a car on a road trip. Ooh, so dangerous. So crazy.
Like, you should have just said no. There's
yeah,
one.
Just as a nope, really haven't done anything crazy. Left at that.
And we really should have. And it's, here's the problem I have with Nick. And this is where Nick is starting to bug me. And now I can see what's bugging the crap out of Courtney.
Yeah.
Because think about when that question came up first, he starts off trying to create some story like, oh, in my grandmother's house with the doll, she had a room with dolls. Now, Courtney didn't make it any better saying the dolls were fine, but the grandma's house wasn't.
Right. Right. I think my issue with Nick here, this is what I've been saying, is that confidence level. Mm-hmm. So they're playing these, you know, answering these questions, not really getting that far. And Courtney's in him like, what? You got this look on your face. And he's all bashful and shy. Okay, I think I'm going to kiss you. If you'd have just leaned in and just kissed her, that's the type of confidence that she's expecting in a guy.
Not only that, Monica made a point here. Nick changed his place because she didn't like his first answer. And I think he should have stood his ground on that. Yes.
His first
I did it in grandma's house. She can't hear. It's fine. Something. I guarantee you she probably would have respected him a little bit more had he stood his ground because he changed it based. Thank you, Monica. That is very true. She didn't like his first answer and he just went somewhere else.
Mm.
Deja says the grandma and doll story was probably true. What about the question I always wanted to ask my parents?
Oh, if they're proud of him?
Mm-hmm.
It's good. It's a good question. Because the follow-up would be like, why do you need that? Like, why? You know, what do you feel you're not getting?
Or
why do you think they're not proud of you?
Here's a better question. Why don't you just ask them? Why is it you've always wanted to ask them? No, ask them.
Text message. Shoot them a text. Are y'all proud of me or nah?
This is my third reality TV show. Are you proud of me?
Yeah.
Tori and Felipe. I know this shocked you when you saw Felipe's place.
It did, because I said on the podcast that, man, Felipe looks like his place would be dirty. So I'm just picturing partying restaurant guy. Felipe, I apologize. Your place looks really nice. I was quite surprised. And it's not, it doesn't look like a douchey bachelor pad, you know, like Adam's. It looks like Felipe entertains and has people over. His place was nice. The way it was set up and looked, thumbs up.
Tori likes it too. So you like it. Tori likes it. And did it meet your cleanliness thing?
From what I saw, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Sly agrees, says Felipe's place is nice. Tori liked it, but she said, hey, both of our places, neither of our places are big enough for two people and two pets.
Yeah.
Did you catch Felipe tripping over all the hurdles in the 110-meter hurdles when she asked him about moving in together?
Yeah, because now it's, oh, wait, this is getting real.
Yes.
Like, if you move in, this is permanent.
So we got to go, yeah, that's right. We got to break leases.
Yeah.
Because he could not answer the damn question. But, by the way, shout out to San Juan Club. Says my first time on the live crew. Welcome in.
Hey, welcome.
Come on in. The water's fine. Hey, quick shout out to everybody rocking with us right now, man. Whether you're here like San Juan Club as part of the live crew or watching this later as part of Replay Gang, please do us a favor. Hit the like button. And if you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications.
Shout. And if you really want to support the channel, join the regulars by becoming a member. Use the shortcut and scan the QR code in the over my left shoulder. It's less than $3 a month. You'll get custom emojis, early access to random thoughts and RGRT pod reaction videos, and more, including members-only live streams for story time with Terrell.
Yeah, Terrell's thinking about that after pod. To the Replay Gang, hit that like button. And to all of our podcast fam, listen on your favorite app. Thank you, too. Leave us a 5-star rating and a quick review. And if you'd like to support in style, check out the merch store. That QR code is over Terrell's left shoulder. And thank you in advance for your support. And if you missed that afterpod reference, when you go back, you'll see it. Let us know you've made it this far, though. As we're getting ready to go into Bell and Mecca, I'd like for you to leave us the word or the emoji, the microphone emoji, because we're about to go to the studio with Bella and Mecca, with Becca. So leave us the word mic, M-I-C, or the microphone emoji for Belle, who walked into the studio with Mecca, took him to her workplace because she went to his, which smelled bad. He brought him to hers, which wasn't full of weed smoke, because you usually see that sometimes. And we get to hear her perform her song without the vocal effects.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop.
I mean, my notes, I put, she's a singer? Question mark. Because I was expecting more. I was just expecting more. And so,
you an intelligent AJ.
After listening to that, I'm like, you better go learn Mecca's family's business. You can take over his grandma. You better get them books and learn the business. Because I don't think this is going to be a thing.
And hope Nikki B's not in the audience because she's throwing tomatoes. Damn. Okay. I'm sure it sounds better. Like somebody said, it sounded better episode one. Yes, because that one was probably a more finished product, right?
Yeah. Just naturally hearing her sing. Yeah. Sorry, Belle. Learn the family business. Do that. Maybe you can sing at church. Sing at church and scratch that itch there. But
oh, by the way, I didn't think this, but something to be says Mecca always looks like he's jealous of Belle. He always has this weird look, and her vocals aren't Whitney or Mariah. More like me at karaoke.
Wow. Yeah. Mecca, he is weird. He just looks at it weird. Because even watching this, I was expecting that. I expected him to be more complimentary of her singing. At least it wasn't good to me, but you're sitting in there. Maybe he heard it better. Say something positive about that. And then he goes into her being in a bad mood because he kept her out late.
Yeah.
Like before. Now I'm thinking, so what are y'all doing come home 4:30 in the morning? I guess, am I just too old to be doing that? 4:30?
They still young.
They still young. What, late 20s?
Yeah. They're still young. You don't act like you weren't out in your 30s that late.
We're talking about Mick and Bell.
You know, it felt like this wasn't an argument that needed to be had. And, you know, Becca was in his head because he thought she wanted to go earlier and she didn't tell him. And she's like, no, I got lost in the conversation. Here's what I do notice.
Mm-hmm.
He thought he was in trouble. And this led to a whole thing about childhood issues. What happened here?
Yeah. And I don't know this whole get in trouble thing. And she's trying to tell him, yeah, I'm tired. And it boiled down to he thinks that she stayed out later than she really wanted to, just didn't say anything to him.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no, I told you when I was ready. Yeah. It just happened to be that late. But then he's thinking that he's in trouble. And I don't know where that's coming from.
Yeah.
And does he think that if he does something, does something wrong, gets in trouble, is she going to leave now?
Mm-hmm.
Since he has abandonment issues. I don't know.
Sly may have just wrapped it all up, said the argument seemed contrived and silly. Mecca needs a lot of reassurance and healing. Poor thing. Says Bell deserves a reprieve from being his parachute, but doesn't seem to want it yet. Which, and it's funny you should say that, because I literally said, Bell is the strength that Mecca needs to get past all these hurdles, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that and a damn therapist. But I really hope that they make it just for her sake. So, because she is pouring into this man. She is pouring into him.
She is. She is. I feel bad for her because I don't think he's in a place that he can reciprocate that.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to eventually be pouring from an empty cup. And that's not healthy.
At all. And sheesh. Well, you know, maybe if this doesn't work, the next one will be better. And he can go get some more therapy and get his healing and be ready for the next person, right?
You would hope so.
Yeah, exactly. Well, speaking of therapy, Caitlin and Devin. This was seemed like a fun night. Apparently, Harry Potter's a turn-on. I had no idea.
I never watched Harry Potter.
Me neither.
It's not my thing.
Nope.
And I don't think it's Devin's thing. He doesn't know as much about Harry Potter when they start playing the game. But the fact that he did that for her, I thought that was really nice. Like, you know, Devin is really trying to do some stuff here. So he did something that he knew would make her happy. And you saw how she lit up to be able to geek out on Harry Potter. So good for Devin.
You know, that was good. But you can tell how taxing that was on him. Because next time we see him, he's in the dog park with the dog collar around his neck. And venting about all the red flags of Caitlin not meeting him where he is, because he's putting in the effort to meet her where she is.
Yeah.
Sly says, Devin, the lover boy, deserved a better match who was ready. She's going to come around too late. Yeah, but that was the formula for the early versions of Married at First Sight. You'd have one person into the other, and then by the time that the person who wasn't into him is getting around, the other person's like, yeah, I'm good. We might as well let's make it to the finish line. We do sit him at a cookout with Devin's friends. And, you know, it's funny because at first I thought there were, you know, a mix of their friends. So these were all Devin's friends. But we did get to see Caitlin's miserable friends before, so.
Yeah, we don't need to see Caitlin's friends. They're terrible. But Devin's friends seem really cool. And what's crazy to me is every time Caitlin talks about Devin, you know, it's all these positive things that she's never had. So she says that, you know, he's kind, genuine, he's a good human. And she says, you know, wow, she's never dated that before. So he's all these good things. But I do think sometimes people are used to dating crap and they can't date a guy that does something really nice. They need to have the drama because that's how you get into the boring relationships, right? When you don't want a boring one, you do what Caitlin's doing.
But here's the problem I have with that. When he gave her a flash of what she was accustomed to dealing with, which obviously he was nicer than the other people, when in his drunken state, she acted even more annoyed.
Yeah.
So.
Just annoyed because he was drunk.
Well, yeah, that too. That definitely would be part of it. Devin's talking to Melissa, the black friend, and they're having a real heart to heart. And she notices that Devin is not himself. Like, I'm like, you're over there cooking and you're not cracking jokes?
Yeah. And Devin tells her about the expert saying that it's his light being diminished. And she says, yes, that's exactly it. So the fact is, friend recognized that. It's great. So she can tell that he is not being his full self, mainly because of Caitlin.
And she told the producers, I don't know about this. Because Devin tells about waking up and finding pillows between. That is a major flag. If I wake up and find pillows between us, that's a major. What would you do?
If there were pillows between us?
Not us. Not us. You and your girl. Jesus Christ, what is wrong with you? Calm down, Adam.
I was like, what? I don't think I couldn't see myself being in that situation. Now, if I snored or she snored or there was some issue that made you kind of want to move separate beds, great. But other than that, I have not been in a situation where somebody over the middle of the night stacked pillows between us.
Right. That is not even as you go to sleep. If you built the fort before we went to sleep.
Yeah.
But to wake up in the middle of the night and build a fort is diabolical. Yeah. Or like Fashion News says, with pillows in between, it is over. Mimi, the pillows are too much. Girl, just go home and free this man. Give us free.
Yeah.
Yo, you know, I almost forgot about this. Devin said they don't even share the same comforter. Why is she on the show? Seriously, why?
Don't know, but I don't think that she's ready for this at all. Now, here's what I'm curious about, because you made this point a second ago. What if they get to the end and she's actually into him? I think Devin would actually still stay because he wants some ROI.
He put in all his time. Kevin says maybe he's snoring like a chainsaw. No, they should have put the pillow over
his head. The pillows wouldn't help that. Yeah, the pillow fort doesn't stop snoring. It's not
the
blocked.
The sound goes over the top. If it was the snoring, she'd have the pillow over her head because she'd be accused of trying to kill him. She would over his head, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, Nikki, no. The answer is no. Talking about y'all were in college together. Y'all have bunked up before. Nope. Nope.
Mm-mm.
Next, we get to see Marissa and Adam, right? They're going to have play pickleball with Courtney and Nick. But even getting there, Marissa's already at her wit's end, it looks like.
Yeah, she's starting to get a lot more annoyed with Adam because Adam, him and the jet ski thing, I mean, it's just annoying. Mm-hmm. His water socks and all that. It's just annoying. So she wasn't in the mood. But then after riding with him on that jet ski and she's going to play pickleball, she knows she doesn't like it. Mm-hmm. But she knows how competitive he is. So all this pressure is on her. Adam is just clueless.
It's not that he's clueless. He just doesn't care. Right.
Okay.
But this is Marissa's fault. And I'm going to tell you why. Because she's like, I hate pickleball. And Courtney's like, oh, you hate pickleball? And she's like, no, I'm just kidding. No, you're not. It's okay.
Yeah.
You don't like it. Yeah. I'm just going to try this for you. But this is not my thing. Even though you did catch Adam saying, I've got a whole program worked out to teach her and get her good, train her for pickleball.
Yeah.
Psychopath.
That is crazy. But she doesn't like it at all. And I wish she would have said something. And
no, I'm glad she didn't.
Say something. I don't want to do this.
No. Here's why I'm glad she didn't. I love the look on his face every time she hit the ball.
Every time she missed, he just looked at her like, hey, just stand back. Just stand back.
Further back. All the way
I'm
back.
I'm going to play both sides. Yeah. Oh, he was so pissed.
Something to be says Marissa's like a prisoner at this point. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
It is nuts, man. The convo after Pickleball, though, I thought revealed a lot more about their relationship. And we get to, because now we're getting to see the cracks that we knew were there. We could see them. We just didn't know if she could see it because she was inside, right?
Right.
But it's all about Adam.
Yeah, it is. You know, Courtney asks if they decided where they're going to live. And Marissa's like, yeah, we're going to move in with Adam. And, you know, maybe I can bring a woman's touch to his place. But her place looks so much better than Adam's. It's just Adam's is by the water. But she's going to concede and do what Adam wants to do.
Okay. Did you pick up on when Courtney was like, well, would you let her do, give the woman's touch? He was like, I don't see anything wrong with it. I like it like it.
Of course he does.
And what did Marissa say after this? Again, this is why I fought Marissa, right? Because you need to speak up. Because she goes, oh, well, I kind of like the frat boy stuff. No, you don't. You just talked about the seven couches that right. on the outside that aren't outside couches.
Right. She's allowing this to happen, but Adam wants or just probably needs just a woman like from Zamunda. Just get someone that was built for you, designed for you. Coming to America. There you go. That's what I was trying to get to. Coming to America.
Bark like a dog.
Yeah.
A big dog. Woof. Woof. That is exactly what he needs. You know, here's the thing, though. The focus then goes on Courtney and Nick, right? Mm-hmm. And Courtney just starts to tune out immediately. You notice that, right?
Yeah, she does.
They literally had to drag her back into the conversation.
And how she got into the conversation, here's what she does. Yeah, so we made out a couple times. No excitement. No, that it meant the world to Nick, I'm sure. Yeah. But for her, her body language may look like she was disgusted the fact that she has told everybody, I made out with this man a couple times.
Then they start talking about the houses and, you know, Nick's like, yeah, well, you know, mine has four bedrooms, you know, quiet flex. And they're like, oh, four bedrooms. Well, Courtney, you're definitely moving in with him, right? What if the house gets transported to Oregon?
Yeah. No. And this is crazy. It's Nick doesn't like Portland. Mm-hmm. And Courtney doesn't really either, but she just wants, if she's going to have kids, they're going to need to be in Portland. Now, I think she's only saying that because she doesn't like Nick. If she was with a guy in Seattle that she really was smitten for, this wouldn't be an issue. She's just trying to, like, you know, have these cards of reasons that I'm going to say no to Nick. He doesn't want to live in Portland to raise kids. That's important to me. Deal breaker.
T. Porter says, shit, I'm moving in with Nick. Well, not only does Nick not like Portland, but even Adam called Portland a worse Seattle. Basically, what else?
The Walmart of Seattle. I was like, oh, wow. And the only thing I can say about Portland is that they have a homeless problem. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's beautiful, expensive, but just gorgeous.
Mimi's not believing her either. She's not moving to Portland ever. Lying ass. Yeah, actually. So here's the thing I didn't like that was happening here, right? They end up talking about Nikki and Sean, then Belle and I almost said Belle and Jolie. Belle and Mecca. That would have been funny. Yeah. And I'm just thinking, here are these troubled couples. Ignoring the red flags in their own relationships, talking and making fun of the black couples.
What?
Yeah, they were. I'm not the only one that saw it. Again, tell them. Tell
who was making fun of the black couples?
Courtney, Nick, Marissa, Adam. Thank you. Marie says they are very critical of the black couples. Velvety Vice, I said the same thing. Nikki B, I didn't like that either, Yanni. Yeah, I'm like, how y'all start? And yeah, Nikki and Sean, but then all of a sudden you go to Belle, and like y'all ignoring everybody else's too. K Wu, I caught that too. Cat, I thought the same. T Porter, the racial separation in this cast is very visible. You didn't see it, did you?
Nope. I didn't see that because what they were saying about Nikki and Sean, I feel the same way. How do y'all become a 10 out of 10?
Yeah.
You know, after what we've been seeing, you know, all this time. And then they also talked about Devin and Caitlin too, didn't they?
They finally got there after they got through with Nikki and Sean and Bella. And that's why I said, once they got the first two, I'm like, yo, y'all not going to talk about anybody else? Because first of all, y'all relationships are terrible. Right. And there are other people who have bad ones too. There's only one good relationship there. Sly, why is this cabal of colonizers talking about everyone else's relationships when they should be focused on their own train wrecks?
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
I do. And yeah, I mean, they talk about everybody else's, but theirs, including Caitlin and Devin. And they spoke nice of Caitlin and Devin. They talked about them, but they spoke nicely about them. And that's the difference.
What did they say bad about Nikki and Sean and Belle and Mecca?
I don't have the transcript, sir.
They didn't say anything bad
okay.
about them. So they're just saying, I'm curious about Belle and Mecca. And then they're like, Nick and Sean. And that's when Nick was like, yeah, that 10 out of 10. And Adam chimed in, yeah, that was crazy, which we all said the same thing, but they didn't say anything bad about them.
Okay. Put on the cape, man. It's good.
Yep, just can't be that sensitive.
It's not being sensitive. It's pointing out the facts. What you see? the way Courtney looks when she's talking about Adam is the way Nick wishes she looked when she talked to him or about him.
Yeah. I think, yeah. You could tell she likes Adam's vibe and energy. I just wonder what would have happened if those two got put together.
Yeah. It would have, that's the couple they probably should have put together, to be quite honest. Yeah. You do see Courtney and Marissa having a combo, right? And they kind of go off guys and girls and Courtney's out here lying, trying to say that she and Nick are finding ways that they're compatible. I don't see their compatibility.
I see why the experts put them together, but you're right. I'm not seeing compatibility with these two.
Mm-hmm.
And for Courtney to make it sound like she's trying, I'm doing all this. And she tells her that, you know, Nick said that, he really likes me because I can challenge him. And mm-hmm. But what does he do for me? He's not challenging me. She's just a weird, awful person, in my opinion. Courtney's bad.
The thing that Marissa brought up was that she was having issues leaving past issues in the mm-hmm. past, right? Leaving them behind. And she's finding herself being her 23-year-old self, her 23-year-old people-pleasing self. By doing all the Adam stuff and none of the her stuff. I'm glad she's finally noticing it because we thought she was just blind.
Well, I can't believe it took this long.
Right.
You know, you're about halfway into this.
Yeah. But I'm glad it finally, which means when we get to the group dinner, it's got to come out at some point. But I was actually a little skeptical that it would because she hasn't really said anything to him. And she's just been appeasing him this entire time, which has been wild to watch. Hey, do us a favor, man. Appreciate everybody hanging out with us. Hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications. The walk-ins for the group dinner. Now, Paul said Belle and Mecca were performative with their showy attire. And the cameraman and editor decided to show us how showy they were with Belle's cheeks. Were they being performative?
No, I just think that's who they are. That's, you know, Mecca dresses that way regardless. Mm-hmm. I just think that's who they are. And Belle Jolie, that creative artsy side, being a singer, she likes all that too. So I don't think they're being performative. Like, that's just who they are.
Mm. Well, yeah. I mean, I expect her to be a little more expressive just because she's a creative, right?
Right.
Apparently, so is Mecca since he's very expressive too. And it's like he says that's messed up. They dress how they dress. Yeah. I don't want my wife ass cheeks hanging out though. I don't care how old I am.
I wouldn't either.
I thought you would be fine with that, sir.
No, hell no. I wouldn't be okay with that.
Tea Time says Paul is doing too much. Kat says I thought they looked great. They look great.
Yeah.
Till the dress kept riding up. I'm just saying. Mimi says performative because they were dressed cute. Stop it, Paul. And he, you know, I think he's still going off the bias from the first times when Mecca was saying, we're going to be the best ones. You know, and that's probably still in his mind. So when they walk in strutting, and to your point, though, and a lot of people in the live crew are saying this, is the fact that that's their personality. That's them, right? Yeah. So you can't be mad. And that's why they're actually getting along. So I'm not mad at that. And like Deja says, this is the entertainment industry look. True. As we're getting through some of the couples in there, kicking it off, Cameron asks Nick, hey, man, so you getting to touch anything yet? I mean, he said it a little better
touch
than that.
Touch my, don't you?
Has the physical progressed?
Yeah. I mean, it's progressed. Right. So there's that. And Nick seems happy. Courtney's the only one that doesn't seem happy about it. She doesn't look like she's happy it got to that level. She looks like she's forced or she's doing something she doesn't want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. And Paul and Dr. Lisa pointed that out, too. Mm. That they can see she doesn't look like she's enjoying it at all.
No.
By the way, Mike wants to let us know that Belle looks good, so he's not complaining. You know who else is not complaining? Nikki and Sean, because they came through saying stuff that was good.
Everything is great. Everything's awesome.
They unlocked it. They unlocked a lot over the past couple days. She's even felt a spark, Terrell.
Okay. Not buying that at all. And again, maybe there's some things that they're not showing us. So maybe there's these intimate moments, these makeout sessions that works for them. Mm-hmm. But she said they've had some passionate kisses and cuddles. I was like, really? I still just call BS on this. Yeah. But she says the conflict has brought them closer. I am not buying it.
It's no, you're not buying it. Nobody's buying it. And Sean even recognizes that because he's like, nobody's more surprised than me. Penelope says, what in the black magic is going on?
Yeah. If fake it till you make it was a couple, it's these two.
Which is exactly what Trey is saying. They really know how to put on for the camera.
Yep.
Right there. So Tori and Felipe. Now, with these two, he's saying, as great as they have been, they haven't had an argument yet, and he kind of wants to know what that's like. Is it a red flag, orange flag, or yellow flag that they haven't had an argument yet?
No.
Okay.
I look at that as a green flag that they haven't had an argument yet.
Why do people say this on these shows? Well, I want to have an argument. Is it to know how low can you go? How low will you go? How low do I gotta go?
I don't know. It's the people that like to. I've not had a relationship where we argued and had arguments. I've not had one.
And you had one argument and that was it. We done.
One argument, we broke up. No, I've not had relationships where you do that, but there are certain people I think if that's what they're used to, the way they've probably like the Caitlins of the world, you're used to being in these kind of toxic relationships.
Yeah.
So you're expecting this fight and disagreement stuff to happen. But for Felipe, enjoy it. Like if you meet somebody, y'all enjoy being around each other. You're not, you know, trying to fight and nitpick over bullshit. Mm-hmm. That's a win.
Mimi says, you want to know that you want to get that little argument first to know how they handle conflict or dispute. Well, it depends. It's got to be something that real. If you really want to know how somebody's going to react, it's got to touch them to their soul, because that'll tell you everything you need to know.
But if you don't have any conflict or disputes, you're never going to find that out.
Right.
But the good thing is you've not had any conflicts or disputes.
Which is
on that side. Yeah.
Tea Time is right there with you. Why are people looking for drama all the time? Suzanne says they should have at least a disagreement by now.
Why?
Now, Tori has been very, accommodating, hasn't she?
I think she has. And I think when we say a disagreement, what does that mean to you? So he wants to go to this restaurant. She wants to go to this other restaurant. They go back and forth about why they want their own restaurant they want to go to. Is that a disagreement? Does that count in this? Because I would agree with you. It needs to be something big, you know, to see, you know, how they are and how they handle that. But
here's the thing, though, and this is why he should be careful in this, because like Sly says, Tori's matter of fact, she does not seem like an argumentative type, but don't cross her. She seems like the type, and this is I've known this type, that when they get upset, they will just go, okay, cool, and shut it off, shut it down, close it off, and don't talk.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's, to some people, that's worse than the arguing and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So,
well, true. You shouldn't hold it in, but just nothing's happened. There's no conflict that's come up. I think that's a positive thing.
Mm-hmm. Coach Run says, my wife and I been married 13 years. We've had maybe 5 arguments.
Is that good enough, live crew? that...
You're like, my name's Bennett. I ain't in it. Yeah, I'm not saying nothing on this.
I think it's great, but you know, some people know live crew. You should be arguing way more than that.
Yeah, at least 5 times a year, I think.
Yeah.
Now, maybe somebody's going to ask, is that 5 for the whole 13 years or 5 a year?
Yeah. 5 in year 1. They got the bullshit out of the way. And now they've had a great 12 years.
It'll be worse. It was 5 in the last year. Fashion News says, when some people argue, you see some real petty ways come out. Yes. You get to learn a lot about a person when they get upset. You really get to learn a lot about a person. And I think to that point.
Yeah.
So I get it. I'm not going looking for an argument, though.
Right.
Never.
No.
Which is the kind of one thing they keep saying. And I that part I don't understand. Marissa finally found her voice in front of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
It was unlocked with pickleball because, remember, she was having a conversation with Courtney and told her, but she still hadn't told Adam.
Yeah.
And she announced they finally had a bad day, and that unlocked her mouthpiece.
Yeah, because I bet he gave her a strong talking to in a car on the jet ski. On the jet ski going back after pickleball. Gave her a strong talking to, I'm sure. But yes, I love this about Marissa, where she finally says, you know, I don't want to play pickleball 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. It's not happening. Mm-hmm. You know, and then she says, we've only done his things.
Right.
They haven't gone on a date since the honeymoon. So looking at Adam, I'm like, dude, are you serious? So she finally stood up for herself. I loved every bit of this.
I do too. But again, why are you just going along? Here's the thing. It's fine to do something fun and then, okay, if you don't feel like doing it anymore, say it.
Right.
Plain and simple. It's really that simple. And that's all she had to do. We do find out more about Adam, though, and the fact that, and people had brought this up before, the live crew had brought it up before in the early episodes when he was making her taste test all his drinks, because apparently one sip is going to set him over the edge, and this is why he is so obsessive physically in everything else, because now he's getting into, you know, he puts all his energy there instead of into alcohol.
Into booze.
Mm.
And you know, good for him, but that's his demon. You can't say for me to have a successful relationship, I need somebody that's as balls to the wall with sports and everything that I'm into. They got to be the same way.
Okay, wait a minute, because I remember, and there's two things here, right? The thing for him of getting off alcohol and diving into physical first. I think you did that and I did that when we quit smoking. Right. I know I definitely did. I was into 2-a-days and all kind of crap. Right. But I remember when you were very active and you're like, well, you got to have somebody who is active, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So why is it wrong for him?
No. The difference is I like somebody who is active. They do stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for somebody that's going to match and do what I do. Right. So when I was doing CrossFit back in the day, I didn't want you to come with me. You know, great. I'm going to work out. You have a thing that you do, and maybe we can go for a hike, hit a hiking trail this weekend. Mm-hmm. But you're active. You do something. Yes, I do like that. But you don't have to be the same as me. Yeah. I don't think that's realistic.
Fair Spassion said maybe he knows he has an addictive personality. He gets carried away too quickly and needs to work on codependence.
Could be.
Could be. You know, he talks about his ex really kind of wild.
Well, my question was, if you had this relationship where she matched that energy, she was great. She did this. We played pickleball. We did. She encouraged and pushed me. I pushed her. Go get back with her.
Mm-hmm.
Because to expect Marissa to do all those things, that's crazy. So he should go find his ex. See if he can work that out.
He should. Marissa saying that, you know, again, brings it back up. They haven't done her stuff. They've only done his stuff. And I like Cam saying, well, why do you have to have the same hobbies?
Mm.
Because to your point, that's not what you needed from your side, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and for him to say, I just need it. Like, I can't wait to hear more. I can't wait till we get to the next episode to hear the remaining part of this dinner. But as you understand, like, why do you feel you need that from your partner?
Do you think, like, Pink Butterfly and Sly are thinking the girl he broke up with on the phone was his girl?
I think that there was something to that.
They were separate.
Because why would you put that on? Why would they air that?
Yes.
You know, why would you air that? So I feel like there's a reason they're showing this to us.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Yeah. I almost forgot about that. And it's absolutely true because we all, and you made a big point about that when it happened, that there's more to it than what they're showing us. And there's a reason.
Right, I'm like, there's a reason you're showing this to us, for him to make this phone call. But he said they only had like 5 dates. It wasn't that serious. So I can't imagine that being the girlfriend that matched his energy, because they only had 5 dates.
Now, he hadn't been on one date since the honeymoon.
Well,
so true. That 5 dates could have been that could have been over 2 years. We don't know. That's all that is. By the way, Coach Run did answer your question, said, T, you're right. 5 arguments the first year. The last 12 have been smooth.
There you go. There you go. Get those arguments out the way. Like Felipe's saying, let's get it out the way early. And then hopefully you don't argue anymore.
I can't win these arguments. Yeah. Okay, let's just wrap it up. By the way, something to be said this earlier about Mecca being the strength. Said Mecca's the strength he needs. I'm wrong about Bell being the strength that Mecca needs, because Mecca is the strength that he needs. Another person can't heal you. He's going to drain her in the long run, which is something I think you were saying as well, too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's going to be disappointed. Again, pouring from an empty cup is what she'll be doing if she keeps pouring into him and she's not getting anything out of it.
Shout out to Kevin. Thank you very much for the super chat. Said in those 5 dates, she was drained from the jet skiing. She made it to the porch. Probably saw the tarp on the roof and turned around. But apparently they had more going on. We knew that. Just by the way that conversation went, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow we are back. 8-7 Central. Episode 12. Where... Felipe. We were wondering when it was going to happen. And it took 12 episodes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He speaks his truth.
Were you surprised?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
I didn't think so. Hey, appreciate you guys hanging out with us, man. Do us a favor, please. Hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications. Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at the RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts. This is one of the bullshit you find on the internet. We may talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.
We've been running this banter since way back in school, where the dorm room debates turn the cool into rules. Talking loud about the world like we're changing the game, but it's just us two, yeah, two sides of the same.
Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin.
Two regular guys with the will to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. Sports got us heated, yeah, the refs missed the calls. Politics, man, we'll argue till the walls fall. Pop culture don't get us started on trends, but the laughter, my dude, that's where it all ends. You say tomato, I say nah, bro, it's time motto. You think we clashing? Nah, it's the dance of bravado. No winners, no losers, just stories to share. So pass me that bottle and pull up a chair.
Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the word to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the word to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. When the convo's done and the bottle runs dry, we'll toast to the clash, to the lows and the highs. Two voices, one friendship, no need to compare. So come as you are and pull up a chair.